Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 12 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. It is Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. 800-919-3776, the number. A very busy time of year right now. Of course, March Madness getting underway everywhere except here in New York City. Well, Wagner's in. Good for them. But, I mean, if you're a St. John's fan, you're miserable and angry and everything else today. Well, plenty of that to get to, of course, as well. The Knicks play tonight in Golden State. An injury update for you that you're not going to like, so stay tuned for that. But, Bart, you told me on Friday that I need to shut up if the Jets start making some moves that fill those holes I was complaining about in Friday's show. Now, while I will not shut up, I will say to you, though, this is one that you called. Tyron Smith signed with the Jets a one-year deal that could be worth up to $20 million. Seven of it is guaranteed, and that offensive line has been remade, and it looks a lot better. Now, again, injuries are a concern, but still, adding this guy is certainly a significant upgrade, and then obviously you include what they did, obviously, with bringing Morgan Moses back on the right side. John Simpson as well, and then you get Vera Tucker healthy. This offensive line looks a lot better on paper than it did last season.
So can I say, shut your mouth and know your role?
No. I ain't going to do it.
No victory lap right there. Listen, well, yeah, this is what,
you got one. I'll give you that.
What I'm talking about is how, you know, you talk about how guys overreact. And, like, it's always plans, right? And if it wasn't Tyron Smith, maybe it was Donovan Smith, right? You try and get through.
I'm glad it was Smith.
But what I love is that this gives the Jets so many options, right? And, yes, it's only a one-year deal. But I like the fact that, listen, Tyron Smith has made $1 billion, and he outplayed his contract last year with the Dallas Cowboys. He was available, right? I know he's missed a lot
of games. 13 games last season. He only appeared in 17 games over the previous 3 years. So he has missed a lot of time 3 years before that, and then last year came back and was able to play 13 games. It's still not, you know, what you're looking for. You'd want rather him be as available as possible, but it's a lot better, and it shows that he's getting healthier, and are the Jets getting him now that he is finally healthy again? That's going to be the biggest question. All right, but you talked about now signing him gives you options. Give me those options.
Well, the options is where you decide to go with it. If you're truly all in, then you may not draft the left tackle of the future. I don't know how many times I have to tell everybody, they really like this Carter Warren kid.
Yep.
They really like him. So is this an opportunity for him to sit behind Tyron Smith and maybe learn and get and develop? Or do they say, hey, I'm going to go get the Fashano kid from Penn State, who people believe is comparable to who? Who do they say they remind him of when you think of the description? Oh, that would be Tyron Smith. So who better to learn when you're compared to Tyron Smith than from Tyron Smith, which allows, you know, will allow him to get stronger and learn. And finally, like, the Jets get a player that's in the first round that gets an opportunity to sit and doesn't have the pressure or the weight of the world of protecting Aaron Rodgers, right? So maybe you go that way. Or maybe you say, hey, man, listen, I'm going to move out of this spot. Because a lot of people don't realize, like, the rise of this kid, Brian Thompson, from LSU. And, like, listen, I know everybody's looking at Malik Nabers and what he did. But, you know, what this kid has done, Brian Thomas, now you're talking about a kid that runs a 4.3 40, right, who showed out on that team as well. So, you know, his stock is rising fast, right? And maybe you can move down and say, man, let's get a top tier. Let's move down a couple spots, right? Because none of the left tackles are there that we want. And then go in another direction and get a strong enough weapon. You know, the interesting thing is, if you bring in, you know, Williams, who's visiting today.
Mike Williams. Williams.
You know what I'm saying? If you're in the car driving, you know what I'm saying? That's the spot that you want to be at. You know what I'm saying? You want to come in, come holler at your boys. You know, you come talk to us. You know what I mean? But, you know, he'll be a great get, right? And I would think that maybe you sign him to a three-year deal, because you don't want to have a bunch of one-year deals, because those are hard on the cap.
Now, Mike Williams, just so everybody knows, he visited. He's been now doing his tour, and he's expected to visit with the Jets. today. There is also, I think, Carolina Panthers are on his list as well.
Come on, man.
Unless to visit with. And I believe he was with the Steelers this weekend, right? He went to Pittsburgh this weekend and visited with the Steelers. So, or is he going to their next?
He's going
one
to the
way
Steelers
or another.
Next.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, so one way or another.
He's going
those
to
are
us
the three
first.
Teams.
You don't let him out the building.
You don't let him get on the plane and go to Pittsburgh.
But
right? And then Jadeveon Clowney, by the way, is also reportedly coming to visit the Jets this week as well. On the defensive side.
Well, he's supposed to be here Monday, I believe. I believe they
today? I thought it was
together.
Tomorrow. Okay. Well, one way or another, that's what the activity and action is starting to happen here. But Mike Williams, you know, you talk about a fit, but another guy who's coming off injury that you go boom or bust again. So I think that's what the Jets are looking to do here. We said this, small window, and you got to gamble on a few things here. Tyron Smith is a boom or bust. Mike Williams would be a boom or bust. But
yeah,
that's what the Jets look like they're doing right now.
But Corey Davis won't. So you bring Corey Davis back, and he comes back at a cheaper price. You have Corey Davis, and then Mike Williams is right there, right? So he doesn't have
the
weight
of
the world.
What do you do with Lazard, by the way? What happens there?
I mean, you can't cut him. You try and trade him for, like, somebody receiver gets hurt, he's going to be on the trading block the entire year.
Okay.
Right? Somebody gets hurt, you try and, you know, you take some of the contract on, say, hey, man, listen. You take him, you know, give us, you know, what you do is with him, you do a swap. Take Mike Williams, it's $11 million, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe you go, you ask a team like Carolina to eat it for you because they have plenty of money because, you know, they're rebuilding, they got a cheap quarterback. So,
they take Lazard and you take something from them?
They take Lazard and y'all swap like this year's, you know, like six or seven.
Picks.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You get them like a 5 and you take a 7 from them.
Yeah, I get it. I get
you know
it.
What I'm saying?
Salary dump kind of swap. Yeah,
yes,
I got you.
Exactly, because not only it's not about Lazard and the fact that he's costing you money, it's also that he takes up a roster spot.
Exactly. That's my point. If you have no use for him,
right.
Then that's and it gets kind of awkward. So this is something that you have to figure out. So that's all still has to be done. You want to have this problem because that means somehow some way you got, you know, Mike Williams in
Mike
the fold,
Williams
which
Corey
would be
Davis.
And then Corey Davis. So that would be you'd have Garrett, Mike Williams, and then Corey Davis.
And Gibson.
And then, but I'm talking about your main three are
well,
those
Gibson,
guys.
Well, Gibson's going to be your gadget guy.
Yeah, okay, yeah. And that's what you're hoping for. Okay.
And, you know, I mean, like I said, the winner of this week is Breece Hall because now he really going to be a damn problem. If you get Mike Williams and now you got to deal with Breece by himself. And Izzy started to get like being that home run. You want Izzy to be like Mostert and Achane. You want Breece to have all 18 you know receptions, but you want Achane,
AKA
Izzy, to come in and just hit home run balls because he's fresh. You put him on wide sweeps,
right?
And use the 4-3 speed that he has.
Well, you certainly hope that the offensive coordinator is going to see it that way. So the offensive line.
Well, I'm sure Aaron Rodgers sees it exactly like that.
Yeah, again, the Jets get smarter if he's just on the field. But he has to be on the field, and he has to stay upright, and that's what this offseason has been about, is reworking an offensive line that was just –
And you have to say mission accomplished. So, like, everybody
is it
has
though?
Been –
Well,
everybody has
I,
been
I wouldn't say that yet because I want the depth. Because if you have guys that you know are older, which these guys are, and also some guys have had injury history, I got to make sure I still have some depth that if somebody gets hurt – I got somebody else that I could piece in that I could trust as a starter instead of just, you know, plays here and there. I need a guy that if things go wrong, this guy can play and we can hold up. Because part of the issue with the Jets also was the fact that once injury started happening, the whole thing fell apart.
But this here's the thing, though, right?
You got to have depth here. You got
to. Here's the deal. You still go out and you draft the right tackle or the left tackle. Now it don't matter because
I understand you're saying
tackle-
it. So 10, you feel like 10 means – the Jets are going either right or left tackle, but they are going tackle at 10. You don't think that the Bowers kid that is in play, the tight end, you don't think he's in play at 10 now?
No, because I think they love Ruckert. I think they think Ruckert can be
Jeremy
everything
Ruckert,
that
kid
can be.
Long Island. Mm-hmm.
I think they think that this kid is ready for a breakout year. That's why they got rid of Uzama, because they think that this kid – listen, when he catches, he had some big catches. You know, you think about Kansas City, like, you know, 20-yard catches. The kid can run and block.
We forget at Ohio State, he had some big catches. He just – that wasn't in
That he had Marvin Harris Jr., he had Chris Olave, and he had Garrett Wilson all on the field at the same time. Yeah, you block so we can throw the ball to them.
Yeah, but when they did throw it to him in college, like, he was terrific pass-catching tight end.
So that's what I'm saying. So I think that, you know, people are going to start saying, wow, man, that Rucker guy was a steal.
Yep.
Like, it's taking longer than we thought. Right, because, you know, he's going into his third year, and I think this is a year where he can break out. He can be a T.J. Hockenson. Well, he's a better blocker than T.J. Hockenson. He can be a LaPorta type of guy.
Okay.
I think he has that type of skill set. So I'm not – like the whole Bowers or Bowen thing, whatever his name is from Georgia, I'm not so, you know to the mindset that they have to do that. So what I think is – because just think, you have two tackles that are older, and both of them are one-year deals. So if Fashano is there, you want to get the left tackle. If Joe Alt's there, like you want to get it, right? But
right.
The odds are he's not going to be there, right?
But if it's a right tackle and you have designate Carter Warren then as your backup left,
yes,
because I think didn't Carter Warren play both sides, right? He played left, played right. I don't think he was designated as a left tackle.
Right, but I think he was a left tackle
in college
at Pitt.
Yes.
Right. So like you go get Fasano. So now you tell him focus just on being a left tackle in case Tyron goes down.
And learn from one of the best. Right.
Right. And then you got Fasano, the kid from Oregon State that I think they really like as well.
Another name that right.
Right. He was the first guy that they like. And people think that he's the mauler. So now you got somebody. If somebody goes down, it ain't like, oh, I gotta go play the left side. Okay, Vera Tucker, can you go save us and go play left tackle? No. You keep everybody locked and loaded.
That's what
so
I
now,
like.
So now you have a starting five, and now you have two guys that are good backups that are your future starters.
Okay, so the offensive line now looks like this from left to right on paper. Tyron Smith now is there, and this is a guy that's like a multi all-pro. When he's healthy, he's arguably the best, if not one of the best in the game.
All you have to say is he's a Hall of Famer.
Okay, Hall of Famer, good. John
and
Simpson.
He's only 33. That's the whole thing. This ain't Whitworth at 40.
Right.
This ain't Dwayne Brown. At 39.
Yeah. No, he's healthy, hasn't played a lot of football, so the miles aren't there, but it's the injuries that you worry about because he had been injury prone, and does that mean he's just breaking down and then will break down? That's the concern that you have. But he got 13 games in last year, so maybe he's coming out of whatever the injury stuff that he was going through, because the guy was once an Iron Man. Like, he was just incredible in the beginning of his career. John Simpson now is the new left guard. Got him from the Ravens. And then Joe Tippmann, who you drafted, he stays at center, which I believe they drafted him to be a center, but he'll stay there now at center. Vera Tucker, who had all-pro potential as a guard, just another guy, though. The injury thing is the major concern, but when he plays, again, he plays a high level.
It's time to get paid, so I think you can probably pencil him in as – yeah, I'm going okay. to do what I
got
to do.
He'll fight through it. That's your right guard. And then your right tackle, Morgan Moses, comes back, traded from the Ravens to get him. And that is your line. And when you look at it again, Smith, Simpson, Tippmann, Vera Tucker, and Moses, it is far better than what you saw on paper last year.
I mean, I think that could be a top 10 offensive line.
Top 10.
Because you have three guys in the middle that are great pullers, too. Right, Tippmann is an athletic puller, 6'6". Remember, he's a guy that pulls all the time, so he can do those Jason Kelce, like when you're in like three wides, if they get you in three receiver sets, and it's only four linemen, like where okay, well you got the easy, like well Vera Tucker or Simpson got like okay, we can block back and we can pull you instead of doubling, we can pull you and get you to the outside like Kelce used to do. He's built like that. So now you got Vera Tucker, who's a great puller, and Simpson's a great puller.
Mm-hmm.
So now you can always block back and get out and get extra men, you know, out there to the edge. Pretty much how Cleveland plays.
What you need, of course, is them to be healthy, because the one thing about offensive lines is that when they're new to each other, they need time together.
Chemistry. See, but
and that is something that if everybody's hurt and bouncing in and out of the lineup, it's never going to happen. This has to be – they have to play together through training camp, be healthy enough to have that time together, and then develop into something like you said that could be a top 10, but you need that time together. And that's the part that you always wonder about. Look, Bart, you said it on Friday, we had some fun with it. I still have trepidation. That really blew my mind. When they did sign him, I was like, okay, that's pretty good. But I had that trepidation because injuries have been a problem, a major problem for this team.
See, but it's not.
And I know he's got an injury history, and that's, if you're asking me what keeps me from just being all in on this and thinking, wow, this is awesome, is because that injury bug, it can bite at any time. But for some reason, the Jets are infested with it year after year.
But that's fine. I mean, I'm not saying that's fine. But the thing is, remember all the reps that the guys there left. We haven't even mentioned Max Mitchell, who can play better, who
another
played well his first
good.
Year.
Yep, pretty good.
So like, I think you can feel confident. Like, man, we got eight linemen that have played and that we know can play.
Okay. And I still believe Bakhtiari somehow, some way is going to end up in training camp.
See,
just because it's Rodgers' guy. Like, see, I just feel like he's going to be there at some point because why not? And there's your depth. That's what I'm talking about. Just give me guys that I know. If one guy gets hurt, this guy can play a little bit. You know, like, I just need that.
I don't want two guys that
want to play.
Two halves don't make a whole. No,
okay.
But two guys that are all beat up. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'd rather be able to have a guy that I know that can stay healthy, that's been healthy.
You want to draft one. You so you're all in a 10. It could be Latham, right, on the right side, or it could be Fashanu on the left side. But one or the other at 10.
No, I wouldn't go Latham. I'm talking about the guy from Oregon State.
From Oregon State?
Yeah, that's the guy that they had a crush on, and they went out and watched him play. He's a road grader. That's the guy that's been the guy.
I keep all the names just go through. Oh, Fuaga?
Yes.
Is that who you're talking about?
Yes. That's the road grader. That's the best run blocking right tackle in the game right now. That's who people have going early. That's who I believe they get if they feel like, okay, if Fashanu isn't there, if Alt isn't there, they go right tackle because they feel like he's the best out of all the right tackles in the game.
Whatever works for me at this point. That's how I look at it. It's just, for me, depth is so important for a line that you know the history here has been injuries. And it can just derail a season, as we saw. But more importantly, it's got to be about the most important thing that the Jets do this season is to make sure that Aaron Rodgers plays every game.
Exactly. But listen,
got to play every game. Like if he can play every game, you're going to have a chance to get to the playoffs for the first time in over a decade and end that terrible drought. Let's not even talk. Yeah. You know what? Last year we got ahead of ourselves doing the Super Bowl thing and everything. Put that out. We're not talking about Super Bowl contention. We're not doing it. I will not let us do that. All I care about is, can we just get Aaron Rodgers to play a full season and see if he can just get this team to the playoffs? Just get there first. And then you can worry about the rest of it.
Even with that, I feel decent about Tyrod Taylor. If he got to come in and give us three games.
Oh, by the way, another guy, history of injuries.
I don't care.
I'm telling you, man, like, this is the part that keeps
listen,
me. I worry
me,
about this.
Listen, miss me with the injuries with Tyrod Taylor, please. Like, him getting poked in the lungs by the damn Chargers, that's
why
not
was he
fault.
Getting poked in the lungs?
I think he was getting an IV or something. He was doing something. He was getting an injury shot or something.
Yeah. He was getting a what shot again? He had an injury.
He was getting a cortisol shot.
Yes, and he had an injury for it that they were trying to.
But still, listen, no. It's okay to be hurt. He wasn't injured. He was playing. He was getting a shot, and the dude punctured his damn lungs. So that don't count, right? So let's take that one off his record, right? Because that's malpractice, right?
Yeah.
So that's malpractice, correct? That's malpractice. Can we agree on that?
I mean, the fact that he was injured, so he needed a shot so he could play.
Come on, man. Everybody
was injured.
Come on. No. Alan, everybody's got that shot.
The one in the ribs?
I used to get the pterodactyl shot every week.
All right.
Get straight in the ass.
Okay. Well, he got it in the ribs for some reason.
Right, because he was getting a cortisone shot. That's just to make sure, you know what I mean?
It's a
pain shot.
Okay.
It's a numbing shot.
All right. Listen,
right.
I told
you. No. So can
Taylor
we agree on that?
Taylor is a guy that you respect and love. He's well liked around the league and all that stuff. I'm not trying to disparage the man.
Can we agree?
I'm just saying my concerns is a lot of guys who have injury history. That's
all
I'm saying.
So let's take that one off, right? So that's one off.
All right.
Right? And then when is the other injuries he's ever had? Against the Jets. He's on the Jets. They can't injure him. So let's take the other two off. That's taking three out of the 4 years he's missed.
And if Jets doctor comes near him with a needle, he should be like, "Nope."
That's what I'm saying.
I'm good.
So if the shot in the lungs don't count, and then the other one is he ain't playing the Jets because he own the Jets, we good, baby.
Okay.
No concerns.
All right.
Now being able to get Corey Davis to come back, I mean, listen, the
we
Jets
don't know
will
what
be
you're getting there either, though. Come on, be honest. Huh? You don't know what you're getting.
What you mean?
You've already told me when somebody retires,
it was
already...
No. Listen, the report says he retired because of Alan Lazard.
Huh?
Yep.
What does that mean?
He hated the sign of Alan Lazard, and he was pissed off. And they asked him to take a pay cut. And he was like, nope, just like Keenan Allen. So he retired on the ass. That's what the birdies are saying.
I don't love that.
But that's what the birdies are saying. So get rid of Alan Lazard and be happy.
But if the birdies are saying that, it kind of tells me as a guy didn't want to compete.
No.
Didn't want to compete for the job.
No. That don't tell me that.
What are you talking about? All right, you just signed a guy. Oh, I guess I'm going to lose my job. Well, no, I'm not going to let him. I'm going to outplay him. It's my job.
He did outplay him in training camp. Remember?
Mm-hmm. And then he left.
Yeah. Now he's back. Well, maybe sometimes guys need a year off to get their mind right.
Maybe. I'd rather you tell me that than tell me the other thing that you said, which is you basically quit because you didn't like competition for a job.
Well, maybe he had to get some family stuff fixed or something. You know,
so is he going
to
compete with Mike Williams then? Is he going to be upset about Mike Williams being on the team?
I don't think so. If that was the case, would you sign the paperwork to come back?
Has he done it yet? Has he officially reinstated?
Yes, he has. He filled out the paperwork.
Well, that means the Jets have to still sign him, though. He could sign with anybody.
They own his rights. They released him from the retirement thing. You think they released him for the retirement thing so he can go sign with somebody else?
We'll see.
Remember, who made the call to him? President Rogers.
Like I said, we'll see. 800-919-3776. I'm finding it hard.
Hey, tell Dina, hey, man, I need to Zoom so I can see you, man. I can't see you.
Okay.
All he right, put the Zoom up, but it's two links.
Let's not overshare with the people. We will make sure that all gets to you. But in the meantime, we have calls to get to, and I just wanted to again, like Bart is like again, bushy-tailed and happy.
Everybody wants to hate on the Jets, man. So they do.
I am not
good.
Hating, but it's just not hate. Don't you think it's fair for me to have trepidation? You don't think that I've earned
year? You have, but they signed who you wanted them to sign.
But I like,
and
I
now you're like, well, you know, I know. That's good, but. Damn, but. Sick of the butts.
No, you're not. You're never sick of butts. You know that. 800-919-3776. We start off with Anthony in Harlem. Anthony.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
How you doing?
I love this Tyron Smith signing, and I'm going to tell you why. First of all, he's a damn good left tackle. But that 10th pick, right, I really think that Joe Douglas should try to trade back to like 18 with the Bengals or 20 with the Steelers, right? Pick up a second-round pick. And then you could take – there's. I think they said that there's potentially six tackles may go in the first round. You could take one of these kids that's a little bit more of a developmental tackle because he's going to practice every day because Tyron Smith is on the pitch count because he don't really practice. So he's going to get better, and he's going to be your starting left tackle next year. And then in the second round, you could take one of these many receivers that are really good with that second-round pick you pick up. So this signing changes everything, guys. It's a great signing.
See, I got another one for you. Like – you get a guy that's going to sit and wait. So you still sign Fashano or, you know, you sign a left tackle that you want that's going to still take all those practices as well, but he's a much better player because you're going to take him at 10. So you're going to ensure that you get one of the top six, whether it's a guy from Washington out there as well, the University of Washington, right? You take him as well, right? So I'm doing that.
Fashano, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm doing that. Guess what? When you say F them picks, I'm saying, listen, I'm trading somebody my next year number two for their number two this year. I'm doing that.
That next year's number two is going to be probably like almost like 60.
Exactly.
Yeah. I hope it is. You hope it's like in the 50s.
Yeah, I'm selling that.
Things went well if it's in the
50s. Here's the thing, though, as well, because if Becton signs with the Bengals – then you're going to get a compensatory pick as well. In the next couple of years, you're going to get a compensatory pick.
Okay.
So I'm doing that. So what I'm saying is I'm saying F them picks, and I'm taking future picks, and I'm doing whatever I got to do to get back in the second round because they got some gangster-ass receivers.
That's what the caller just said. Right.
Right. But I'm not moving back. Hell no. I'm getting that developmental guy, but that developmental guy is going to be a guy that was worthy of an early first-round pick. I ain't trying to find no secrets. At 10, I'm getting my future left tackle or my future right tackle, my war daddy, and I'm going to make him hungry because I'm going to sit down there and let him wait because guess what? I can wait a year because I own his rights for 5 years.
Fashanu's a guy that's the youngest of the 2024 class among tackles. And so you'd be
He's only been playing football for like
right.
5 years.
Like you're basically you'd be drafting someone that you would know. We're not going to play you right away, but you can learn and develop behind. What the caller said was 100% right. Knowing that Smith isn't going to practice much, right, during the season,
yes.
He'll get a lot of reps, and it allows him to develop without having that. You know, Becton came in, it was like, you need to be great at left tackle right away.
Yes.
Like, you got to be the man. And it was probably way too much for him,
right?
Even though he actually played well at some points. It's too much.
Yeah,
and so maybe this is a better way to do it.
Yeah, so if you get Fashanu, then you're saying, okay, listen, Carter Warren, like, I know that we like you, but, man, you need to focus all your life on being the best right tackle, because next year when Morgan Moses is gone, it's on you,
It's your job, right. Like, this is your way of earning the job.
Now, if you get the kid from Oregon State, then you're telling Carter Warren, you're going to take all them practice reps, you're going to get all those practice reps, and guess what? Next year, you're the future left tackle.
Right. You'll know by the draft which way you need to focus.
Exactly. You need to know. You'll know what you need to know
right.
in a couple minutes.
I'll tell you right now, you are like Mr. Positive today. Like, you are all in on this.
Because
like
Joe
you're
Douglas
really
was
you're
patient
feelings.
And he worked his magic. The fact that you can convince Tyron Smith to take a deal that got $7 million in guaranteed.
Seven's guaranteed. Could earn him up to $20 million, though.
But after all the money that he's made, he didn't even wait it out. He committed early to a team-friendly deal. That, to me, that's the power of Aaron Rodgers. Because he's like, I want to win a championship. I made enough money. So for him to say, you know what, I'll take a performance-based type of deal.
Well, and Dallas replaced him. Dallas drafted his replacement.
But Dallas was hoping that if he tested the market, that they could re-sign him.
Did they?
Yes. They were hoping that maybe they could re-sign him.
Mm. Well, like I said, this made big news. This was a big deal.
I feel like people were itting on the Jets. And then when this news happened, it was like, oh, never mind. They ain't really mentioning it like they supposed to.
I told you, I want to love this, but I can't because
bro, you got eight. Bro, you're gonna have eight offensive linemen that you feel good.
How
with.
Many did they play last year? Nine.
A bunch of them. No, a bunch of them.
Yeah, I
a
know.
Bunch, a bunch of them.
So I just need to know that there is a contingency plan that just in case that the history of injuries does come back to haunt this team, and a lot of these ads that they're making. Are guys that have a history of injury.
I get it.
That's
all I'm saying.
And Mike Williams is on that list, and he's going to meet them today. Let's leave it there. We got calls to get to 800-919-3776. Again, are you with Bart? Like, you saw this signing, Mike Williams coming in, and you feel like, okay, here comes Joe Douglas.
David Clowney coming
Joe's
in.
Starting to cook. Or you like me, and you're finding that the one thing that's connecting all these guys is the one thing that took the whole season down last year, injuries. That's my concern. 800-919-3776. Yes, it's, of course, tournament time. March Madness has begun. Selection Sunday yesterday is always an exciting day. But for one program, St. John's, they were left out. So we have to talk about that and Rick Pitino's decision not to play in the NIT, how I feel about that, and more. But first, Bart, do you see it? Do you have it?
Nope.
You don't.
But if it's a BetMGM, I got the download read.
It is BetMGM.
All right, yeah, okay.
So tell us about BetMGM.
Yeah, discover BetMGM, the sports betting app New Yorkers turn to for nonstop buzzer-beating action all season long. Take the hard-hitting excitement of March matchups to the next level with the lion's share of the promotions and betting options. Whether you're cheering courtside from the comfort of your couch, BetMGM keeps the adrenaline pumping with every dunk, three-pointer, and buzzer beater. Join the excitement now with BetMGM. Plus, every time you make a wager, you earn BetMGM reward points, which means you can turn the convenience of online betting into real-world rewards at one of BetMGM's or MGM's signature resorts and more. BetMGM and GameSense reminds you to play responsibly. Download the BetMGM app today and enjoy March matchups like never before. See BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older to wager and physically present in New York only. Gambling problem, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. Plenty of questions heading into the season for the Mets. The biggest long-term question, though, involves the future of Pete Alonso. Earlier this morning on DiPietro and Rothenberg, the guys wondered where Pete will be playing this time next year.
I guess the question is there a team willing to spend wild amounts of money on a mediocre defensive first baseman with tremendous power?
One of the most prolific
home run hitters in baseball, absolutely.
Listen, we've gone over this 1,000 different times. You know, the contracts that have already been signed that hurt him and what he's looking for. And, I mean, if he values himself, like, you know, on the same at the same level as an Aaron Judge, he's going to be disappointed because they're not going to pay him like that.
Nor should you. I mean, let's be fair. And I love Pete Alonso, and I'd like to see him stay with the Mets. He's not and nowhere near Aaron Judge.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, Bart and Han. Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. Your Jets calls, 800-919-3776. Tyron Smith remaking the offensive line. Mike Williams visiting today. Joe Douglas finally starting to get some work done here after a slow start to last week in week two now of the NFL free agency. Meanwhile, it is March Madness, so let's get a tournament update brought to you by Bet365. Among your bracket, you will not see St. John's. And when St. John's lost to UConn, there was still this sense of accomplishment. They beat Seton Hall to get to the semifinals of the Big East tournament, and there was this feeling that that had done enough. There was this sense of mission accomplishment, that they had got it, enough quad one, whatever the hell that means, wins on their schedule and had a good finish to the season to earn themselves an at-large bid to the tournament. But a funny thing happened along the way to Selection Sunday is that what we started to see was that the favorites weren't winning, the number one seeds weren't winning their conference championships. UNC lost to NC State. NC State made a run. They were never going to the tournament, but they made a run. Purdue didn't win. Like, some of your top seeds were not taking care of business in the tournament. So what happens is that when you get these other teams that weren't going to get in any other way, no at-large for some of these teams, but then they win their automatic bid, that's pushing everybody else out of the bracket. So St. John's was one of those teams. That was just reality for them. They weren't even considered among the first four out. Seton Hall, who they beat, was considered one of the first four out. Oklahoma, Pittsburgh, and Indiana State, which, by the way, Bart, you know that kid, Robbie Avila, right? The kid we always said, they got the glasses. They call him the college Jokic.
Like
he's just a big dude who he doesn't look the part, but he is the part. Smooth. I mean, just a terrific player.
Footwork.
We miss the opportunity to see him play in the NCAA tournament because they lost to Drake in the Missouri Valley conference championship. And once again, Drake shows up when nobody wants him there. But that's the reality. Those are the teams that were ahead of St. John's when it comes to this stuff. So yes, major disappointment. But when it comes to like all the analytics, the problem is that we buy into them and you hit this false sense of belief that, oh, they're in. And then you realize that on Selection Sunday, it turns out they're not. Rick Pitino was mostly gracious in this whole idea about it. He understood all that stuff, but he was also furious at the idea that we get so caught up in now the analytics that tell you one thing and then selection committee tells you another.
I think we all should probably never mention that word again because I think it's fraudulent. I think the Nets are something that shouldn't even be mentioned anymore. We had a good strength of schedule. Ken Pom, why mention him? We were 26 in Ken Pom. We tried to play a tough schedule. We tried to do things the right way. We didn't get in, but I never make excuses. I respect the committee for what they do. They give their time. They give their energy to it. They didn't think that we measured up to their standards, and we'll take it very positively like men and move forward. We're not going to gripe. We're not going to say we got screwed. We're not going to. None of that helps. Bitterness does not help. I've had enough bitterness in my life to last a lifetime.
All the right things here. By the way, Ken Pom is actually Ken Pomeroy. He's the one that came up with the whole, you know, idea of the college basketball rankings and everything else using his analytics. And the net, what he was referring to also is the net ranking. All that stuff was supposed to be in their favor, but it wasn't. So they're out. Now, Joe Lunardi, who does all that stuff for us at ESPN, he explains why St. John's was out.
I think Villanova's collapse hurt St. John's because those were two of the Johnny's signature wins during the year, one by 10 on the road and by 20 at home. And, you know, Villanova was pretty bad at the end. By all rights, should have gone out a night earlier in the Big East against DePaul.
Yes.
Some of it was out of St. John's control. And outside of the Villanova sweep, the wins just weren't there.
I mean, that's another part of it, too. You beat a team that during the season was considered a quality win, and then you find out that they're not as good as we thought they were, and now that value goes down. It's the reality of it, Bart. It's college basketball. I mean, I feel like things have changed so much in college basketball that it really is hard to follow it unless you are maniacally following it like some people who cover it. But aside from that, I mean, you know, I mean, it's the reality is that teams that were considered the high-ranking teams didn't win their conference championships. And that let in teams with the automatic bids
right.
that normally wouldn't have made it. That
yeah.
pushed everybody down, and St. John's was already on the bubble to begin with. They gave a good fight to UConn. That was a great game. And I'll tell you what, I'll say this too. For St. John's and what you saw, that game against UConn, in a raucous Madison Square Garden, to see a college basketball game with that much energy and St. John's being part of it, it's been a long time. The good news is for Rick Pitino and that program is this is just the beginning. But to have a moment like that, that was to me important for the program. And I'm not going to say more important than making the tournament, but I still think that it still makes, with 20 wins, the season a success for Pitino, despite the fact that they didn't get to the tournament.
Yeah, I think people see that they're right on the verge. And,
yes.
you know, they got to have a tremendous transfer portal.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of good
you
transactions.
Know that's coming. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you give Pitino more to work with, then he'll give you better results, right? And, you know, so I think that's really the key. And that's the reality of that. I think everybody has to accept and understand that you can change your team, especially in a game like basketball, right? Football, like, you got to get a lot of people. But in basketball, you get three dogs. It can change,
you get
everything that you have. You know what
right?
I mean?
You get two. If you can get two out of the portal that are high-level players. Remember, Pitino said this a couple of weeks ago. What was frustrating him about the game, why he was having a miserable time this season, is he said, if you remember, that you're already hearing about a player from Duke, a player from Kentucky, a player from all these different schools that are going to be entering the portal, and we've got to keep an eye on them. I heard this guy.
Why wouldn't you enter the portal? Like, that's like getting paid four times. If I had 5 years, I would transfer three times.
Pay not to go in the portal. How about that?
Yeah,
you know? But that's what you're doing. You're constantly recruiting your own kids when you're at major programs. And he was saying that even about the MAC when he was at Iona. He's like, you're recruiting your own kids to stay, but they're all getting, the vultures are coming in, just snatching all your good players out of the conference and taking them. So for him,
tell you what, they make players play their ass off though.
Yeah.
If they think they're getting paid at the end, you're gonna get the best player that year because they plan for everybody. It's like being a free agent. They plan for free agency.
It's the Wild Wild West now. Like it really used to be, and again, it's the old days were, you know, you had a program and you'd have a good freshman class. You felt like, oh, in the next 3 years, they got a chance to do something special. You just don't get that anymore. A good freshman class is either in the NBA in another year or being, you know, they're all jumping off to other programs. St. Peter's, who's, by the way, back in the tournament, good for them. St. Peter's, remember a couple of years ago? They had that great run, got to the Elite Eight. And then what happened? What did the coach do? He got the Seton Hall job. And then he took a couple of guys with him.
What's the Sashi Brown? What's his name?
Who?
Sika, whatever his name is. Start with S.
Oh, Shaka Smart?
Yeah. Shaka Zulu.
Shaka Smart.
Yeah, Shaka Smart got his ass up out of there. As soon as he went to the tournament twice, like, paid.
Yeah, then he got paid, then he lost his job, then he's back in it again. So, look, coaches do it, players do it. It's just the way it's the way it is in college basketball. But for St. John's, it is a disappointing end to the season to not be part of the dance. But I still think that game against UConn and the atmosphere at the Garden, if you can't sell that to somebody that's playing somewhere else and maybe thinks I should be getting more burn, if you can't sell that to somebody and say, you come here, you get to play in this kind of environment, there'll be more games in this building, and see if you can do something special. It hasn't been done here in a long time, playing for a coach like that.
You better get them an Airbnb to live in. Don't let them see the facility. Yeah. Hold up, man.
Right. Rapoli needs to get him one of those penthouse apartments in Manhattan,
I need an Airbnb loft.
Anyways, 800-919-3776. So we'll keep an eye on St. Peter's. We'll keep an eye on Wagner. You know, we still got somebody local, but St. John's, that would have been a lot of fun to see them in the tournament. More on them because they did have an opportunity to continue to play but chose not to. And we'll get more into that a little bit later on the show. We'll get to your calls, 800-919-3776. That was a tournament update brought to you by Bet365. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Your calls coming up. The Knicks, by the way, play tonight against Golden State, against the Warriors. Steph Curry is back.
Uh-oh.
The Knicks already won the first two games of this trip.
Uh-oh.
But who will they be missing tonight? Major concerns going into tonight's game. We'll talk about that in more in the 1 o'clock hour. Stay with us. But first, Bart, you got me some Samwell?
Yeah, they put it up. I'm ready. Yes, yes. Friends, go see Dr. Jay Shah. He's a double board certified pain specialist. Don't let your neck, back, joint, or nerve pain slow you down from doing all the things you love. It's time for you to reclaim your active lifestyle by calling Dr. Jay Shah today at Sandwell Pain. Dr. Shah treats joint, neck, back, sciatica, and nerve pain. Dr. Shah also is a migraine and headache specialist. Procedures involve no cuts, no scars, no incisions, or downtime. Call Dr. Jay Shah and take a non-surgical approach with precise image-guided procedures without any pain medication. Enjoy a pain-free life. Same day or next day appointments are available. Go to SamwellPain.com to put an end to your pain and suffering today. Why wait any longer? Make your appointment with Dr. Jay Shah by going to SamwellPain.com and regain your active lifestyle and enjoy all your favorite activities pain-free. Sandwell Pain now has three convenient locations. Locations are in Woodbridge, Livingston, and a brand new office in Englewood to help serve Bergen County. Visit SandwellPain.com. You wish you met Dr. Jay Shaw a lot sooner. Most major insurances are accepted.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Talk about Strong Island, Long Island's own Chuck D, friend of the show. Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-3776, the number. So Bart, Gene tweets at us, starting off with football with the Knicks and Rangers weekend. Come on, man.
Can't. That's what I'm talking about, man.
I want to ignore hockey for a weekend after what? Oh, my God, the Islanders. Jeez. Rangers are a wagon, though. They are. I will say that. The Rangers, what they did, like Pittsburgh and the Islanders, they just smoked both of them. Rangers look like they need the playoffs to begin now. Lindgren gets hurt, and that's a bad injury for them to lose. They've already lost Trouba. So you don't want that. They need the playoffs to start now. There's still too many games left for them because they look ready. Like, they're really good.
You don't want to peak too fast, baby.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like they're good. But the Islanders, I'm trying.
Like progress, man.
Like what is that from a Pulp Fiction? I'm trying real hard to stay positive. But we'll just hope that there's still a lot of time left for them to figure it out. But we get into all that. We got the Knicks coming up as well. But that Jets thing. I mean, come on now. It's Tyron Smith. This is a big free agency in the NFL is the biggest thing.
So now will we agree that the Jets have closed the gap as far as best offensive line in New York? You know, because you were real high on what.
Let me ask you, would you take Andrew Thomas or Tyron Smith right now? Be honest.
Are both of them healthy?
Yes.
I think that's a push.
I'd take the younger guy.
I mean, this is what I'm saying. This dude is 33. You said healthy.
Well, they are healthy right now. But everybody's healthy right now.
No. But he was healthy last year. It's not like he finished.
13 games isn't healthy.
Huh?
13 games.
What do you mean?
All right. I don't want to get too far into that. We got calls to get to. 800-919-3776. Barry is in Astoria, Barry.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Big fan.
How you doing, man?
I just want to chime in on the tournament stuff. So, yep. You know, North Carolina State, they had that huge run in the ACC tournament.
My wife is from UNC, so she was not – although her and her friends, after that loss, all spun a positive saying, you know, the last time they were a number one seed, they also lost the ACC tournament championship game and then went on to win the national championship. So that's how they're trying to spin this. Like, it's a positive. It's a good thing. It's like when Alabama loses the SEC championship, they'll win the national championship that year. That's how they always feel.
Sometimes you got to stay positive with it, especially with Alabama. That's kind of a guarantee.
Yeah.
But the kid, Michael O'Connell, the point guard, with the game-winning or the overtime-forcing buzzer beater,
yes.
He's like, I'm not kidding, Han. I'm sure you don't like that. But he went there for a year. He's local.
Yeah.
He's from Neola.
Yeah, I know. He's from Mineola. No, I love that. I went to Stanford for a couple of years, but the Chaminade part of it, the St. Anthony's guy in me just has to go like, okay.
I know you got an issue with that. But on top of that,
but good for him,
recruiting stuff, the St. John's recruiting stuff, like, you guys are hitting it on the head, but I think they really have a geolocation problem where because the university can't put up new facilities, new training grounds, things that the kids are, you know, looking for when they're going on these visits. Other than NIL money, they're just going to be behind in this. They can't put up any new buildings in Queens.
Barry, the biggest
keep them from getting good kids.
No, you're 100%. The biggest issue that St. John's has in the modern era when it comes to recruiting is a very simple one. It's the fact that while it's New York City, it's not in New York City. Like, St. John's would probably be better off if they were somehow, some way located like where Columbia is. You know, like if it was something like, or even NYU, like if they were literally in the heart of the city where there was a practice facility in the heart, like just being in Astoria, it's nice, but it's not Manhattan. It's not the city. You still got to jump on a subway or in an Uber to get to places to hang out. It just doesn't have that same appeal. And then on top of it, it's not like you're also at UCLA or Michigan. Like, the campus isn't something that is so lavish and gigantic that, okay, I'm close enough to the city to enjoy Manhattan, but this campus is insane. It's just, it doesn't have the amenities of the big-time college campuses that you have to compete with. It's very difficult. You can sell New York City. You can sell playing at the Garden. The problem is everything else that comes with it, it doesn't compare. And it's not a knock on St. It's just a reality. It's where they are.
Well, there lies your problem. like, you know, the city, the university have to invest in building their own little world around the surrounding areas. Just a place that has all those things.
They've been building on that campus for a while now. They put dorms in before they had them. That's finally something that is part of it. They have built up a lot of their athletic facilities, but they just, it's nothing in comparison. They do not have the money.
It's in the hood, right?
No, it's in Astoria. But it's not the hood.
When I went around there, I think I did some St. John's. It was okay.
It's not a hood.
Yeah.
Well, oh.
Okay.
Where St. John's is?
Okay.
You think it is?
I mean, the surrounding areas, man. You know what I'm saying? You need to be able to have some stuff where the kids can go and hang out.
Well, that's fair. Yeah, that part's fair. I mean, you ever been to Duke? You ever been to Durham, North Carolina? You go off that campus, you know.
Yeah, but you said the right thing. Off the campus. They got a big campus.
Yes, yeah, but Duke is
And it's
beautiful.
Cohesive. It's cohesive, though, right?
Yes, yeah.
Like, it seems like St. John is like it's all scattered.
And then the weather. Like, and I hate to do that, but it's a reality. You throw the weather part into it, and you're dealing with that as well. It is not like playing in the South or in the West, where, you know, throughout the year you're not dealing with terrible weather. And here it's the weather, it's the traffic, it's not a place that if an 18-year-old an 18 to 20-year-old is going to say, well, yeah, I like this vibe. It's just not that. I mean, it's just nothing new, by the way. I mean, Lou Alcindor chose UCLA over St. John's. Why? And everybody was mad at him for doing it.
Sunshine.
But why did
baby.
He do it? Yeah, the minute he showed up at UCLA,
man,
he was surrounded by sunshine and beautiful women. Okay, yeah, I think I'm going here, guys.
He's like, yeah, I'll holler at y'all, dog.
That's just the reality. But St. John's has been dealing with this forever. Keeping their own kids was very difficult to do. That's why when you got the Chris Mullins and the Mark Jacksons, you know, those guys, like when you got those guys, it was a big deal that they got them. Run our test, you know, because it was rare that they get to keep those guys.
Got to write the checks, huh?
Felipe Lopez, you know, like that was so rare to keep their local guys. But it's a hard sell, and Pitino has to figure out a way to do it. Just a reality. Now, I still think his name, and you get some help as well from some people NIL-wise, maybe they could do it. Maybe they can. But it's a big challenge. It certainly is, but they took a big step this year. You can't deny that.
Yeah, they got to build some housing specifically for, like, they got to have, like, the coldest house. Like, it's just for athletes. Like, yo.
Yeah,
it goes down. We got chefs. We got 24-hour service, laundry service. You know what I'm saying? We got a little club in the bottom. You know what I'm saying? Bowling alley.
Yeah, good luck selling that to a Catholic university. Over. Good luck selling that to the Catholic University. All right, we continue with your calls, and now we'll get into
paying for mess ups.
The Knicks, how dare you? The Knicks tonight in Golden State missing a key piece. Stay with us, Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. So the Jets have made a bunch of moves so far this NFL offseason. Earlier this morning on DPH with Rothenberg, Rick and Dave agreed that all the moves have one thing in common.
So every move that the Jets make has to be that guy can help us immediately. Not let's build into it, let's grow into it, let's see what he has in the future. It's Morgan Moses helps the right side immediately. Tyron Smith helps the left side immediately. Any receiver you bring in is going to help you immediately. They don't have the luxury of time.
Yeah, I just think there's a lot of people that just thought that because it's what we probably would do if our job was on the line, is get irresponsible. Whatever it takes, because none of this stuff is going to matter to me anyway if it doesn't work out.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3:00, it's the Michael K Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.